OAK File, the ultimate Raiders podcast with Nate Lundy.
And welcome in. It is time for another edition of the podcast. So much to be able to talk about. All the action from week two. We'll be breaking it down. Offense, defense, all the injuries to talk about. Speaking of injuries and around the league, we will go around the league with the coach, Brian Billick. He joins us as well, as he always does each week, to give us his analysis on what happened in week two and even looking ahead to week three. And then this week in overtime from Sports Illustrated and Monday Morning Quarterback, Jenny Ventris joins us to be able to go through our six-pack of questions. But as always, we kick things off with the big interview. Let's get to it.
The big interview.
Time to talk some Oakland Raiders. To do that, part of 1660 ESPN, the co-host of Black Hole Banter, the podcast that you can find at blackholebanter.com, or you can subscribe to it on iTunes. Q joins us. It's Q Myers with us. Let's start here. Oh, by the way, Q is on Twitter at yourboyq254. Q, let's start here. You've got a win over the Saints on a gutsy call, a two-point conversion by Jack Del Rio, then turn around on a home game and lose to the Falcons. My guess is that the truth of what this team is probably somewhere in the middle, but kind of a schizophrenic couple of weeks for the Raiders, hasn't it?
Yeah, it really has been. It's been terrible, really, honestly. I mean, they're 1-1, and that's a good thing, because you'd rather be 1-1 than 0-2. But the truth of who the team is they're really good on offense and really terrible on defense, and that's something that you just don't want to have. And you can't win the division being terrible on defense. You don't have to be lights out Denver Bronco defense. You don't have to be Minnesota Viking defense, but you have to be middle of the road. And the Raiders defense is not middle of the road, and to their credit, they have a really good offense, and their offense is keeping them in games. And, you know, after that week one victory against the Saints, all talk was, wow, Jack Del Rio, he made the gutsy call. No, Jack Del Rio made the only call he could make, because everyone knew that the Raiders couldn't stop the Saints. They couldn't stop Drew Brees, and we all saw they were in opportunity. They were in a spot where they actually could have kicked a game-winning field goal. It just was a little bit long. So imagine if they had a little bit more time, they probably would have got the victory. So the Raiders defense is really an issue, and luckily for them, they have some playmakers on offense, and Derek Carr is the leading guy in that, and his charge is great, and his wide receivers are really good. The running game has been amazing. The offensive line is doing their job, but the defense is just failing right now. And if you if you continue to have this kind of defense, the Raiders are going to look at another 7-9 season.
When you talk about the offense being good, I think folks would agree. They know what Derek Carr is capable of. You talk about the running game, and they've got some options there in the backfield as well. But it was an expectation, Q, that this defense was going to be solid, that that a Khalil Mack and everybody else is a part of this defense with Jack Del Rio as the head coach, that maybe that was going to take some of the pressure off of Derek Carr and not have him have to essentially just get to the point of outscoring the other team as opposed to stopping them. So through the first 2 weeks, is there any frustration for you as you look at this, or do you say to yourself, hey, this was Drew Brees and Matt Ryan, and these are guys that are going to put points up no matter what?
Well, when I try to convince myself that the team is going to be okay and the defense is going to be okay, that's exactly what I say. Well, Drew Brees and Matt Ryan, okay, you have to give them a pass. But reality is, there's issues, and the issues are what you mentioned. The defense was supposed to be upgraded. They spent money on the defense to upgrade it. They brought in Sean Smith for $40 million. They brought in Reggie Nelson. I mean, that's the guy who led the league in interceptions last season. He came in to basically be who Charles Woodson was. And through two games, and you see Reggie Nelson, he looks old and slow. And something I mentioned on my podcast yesterday night when I was recording it was Reggie Nelson, Charles Woodson, he got older and aged like fine wine. Well, Reggie Nelson, he is aging like malt liquor, and nobody wants old aged malt liquor. You know what I mean? That's just not good.
No, that's nasty.
What he has done. Exactly. He has just aged overnight and in a very, very bad way. He's just slow. He looks out of place. I do concede that Ken Norton Jr. is trying to use him in the wrong way, but to be a free agent acquisition, to be a guy that was brought in to be not only a leader, they gave him the captain title. I mean, come on. He was brought in to be a leader and to be a playmaker, and he's doing neither one of those right now. And Sean Smith, the big-time free agent that came from Kansas City, the division rival, He's brought in. He's supposed to bring leadership. He's supposed to be that shutdown corner. He's supposed to be that guy that's going to be real physical out there and not allow some passes to be completed. He's getting torched. And then week one, he was torched by younger, smaller, quicker wide receivers. So I thought, okay, maybe it was just a bad matchup. Maybe that was the case. But in week two, he just was exposed again. And so I'm starting to feel like, and this may be me overreacting a little too early, if you still have plenty of games to see, but I'm starting to feel like the free agents that the Raiders brought in on the defensive side of the ball to make a difference this season are going to end up more like the D'Angelo Hall free agency acquisition years ago that only lasted a few games before he was cut because it was a total bust and they decided to cut their losses before they went the whole season with him. This Sean Smith thing is not working out, and Reggie Nelson's been just as bad.
When you talk about Norton not using him right, expand on that. Tell me what you mean.
Well, Reggie Nelson is older. He is going to be slower, and he's using him in a single high formation. He's basically leaving him out there in center field all by himself, and he's cheating the other safety down by the line to help with the run. Well, Reggie Nelson's a guy who's not going to cover a lot of ground, as we've seen in the first two games. He's two or three steps behind every single time. So Ken Norton Jr. is part responsible for Reggie Nelson's failures. But at the same time, I mean, you know, you knew what he was when you brought him in. And if you didn't see enough to think that he could play that kind of style, then you can't do that. You can't have him be that center fielder, the last line of defense. He's just not that guy. So, yes, it is a lot on Ken Norton Jr. because he's the defensive mastermind behind all this. He's supposed to be that guy, and I don't think moving forward he's going to be that guy. I think Jack Del Rio is going to put a lot more emphasis, and he's going to put his two cents in there as well. But he's got to do better. And Reggie Nelson is the wily veteran. If you're not as fast, if you're not going to be able to cover as much ground, you have to use those veteran smarts that you have, the things that you learn over the years of being a veteran in the NFL. You have to learn how to get where the ball is going to be, even if you are a little bit slower than you used to be. It has to be better. The communication has to be better. A lot of people mentioned that it needs to gel still. The defense still needs to gel. I get that, but they are the very worst defense in the league after 2 weeks. I mean, giving up over 1,000 yards of offense is not acceptable. It isn't. And so the secondary is being exposed, and also we haven't heard Khalil Mack's name very often. We haven't heard them call his name very often. I know he gets all the attention off the defensive line, but you're not hearing his name. And the elite guys, the elite pass rushers, they get double teamed. They get triple teamed. They get chipped. I mean, but they still find ways to make plays. So in year three, Khalil Mack has to figure out how he can make plays as well.
Q, do you think that this team at all got caught up in the success from week one and let it go to their head a little bit? Or do you think this was that's not the case in terms of what had them off against the Falcons?
No, I don't think they were caught up in the success. I think they were a victim of what happened in week one. Their defense isn't very good. Their defense is terrible. And it showed again in week two, and it's going to continue to show, you know, until they can figure it out. And Derek Carr and the offense had to rescue them and save them in week one, or else it would be 0-2 right now. So they had Derek Carr come to the rescue. He did that, and he almost pulled it off again on Sunday, but just fell a little bit short. It's just one of those things that you could have the best offense in the league, and I believe the Raiders are ranked at, like, number three right now in offense, but they're dead last in defense, and that's not going to balance out. It's not going to work. For that team to be successful and try to make a run at the AFC West, which I believe they can, they need to be around at least at 15. They need to be ranked at least 15th in defense, and right now being ranked 32nd is just not going to get it done. So the bottom line is the defense is bad. The offense is really good. And the defense needs to improve, or else it's going to be a very long season for Raider Nation.
Well, in three out of the first four games, on the road, and obviously last week was the home game, so that's out of the way. Now it's a road game against the Titans. Give me your thoughts, a little early preview and a prediction of what you think is going to happen.
This game really scares me. It scares me because I know that the Titans want to run the ball. They want to run the ball with DeMarco Murray. They drafted Derrick Henry, and oh, by the way, Marcus Mariota, their quarterback, can run as well. So those three guys scare me just because I know that the Raiders' defense is not very good right now. I know that they're giving up plenty of yards on the ground. They're giving up plenty of yards in the air. If the Titans can get the running game going the way I know that they want to, it could be a really long day for the Raiders because they can't get their potent offense back on the field. If the run game is clicking, that means your offense is going to be off the field. They're going to be sitting there watching the Titans run up and down the field. If that happens, then the Raiders are going to be in trouble. The defense is going to really have to figure out, and figure out in a hurry, how to stop the run on Sunday. If they can't stop the run, the Titans are going to win this game. Now, when I have to do pick-ems and I have to pick this game, I am picking the Raiders to win, and this is the only reason I'm picking them to win. I don't feel the Titans can score with the Raiders. And the Raiders are putting up 28 points a game, 29, whatever the average is. I mean, they put up plenty of points. They just have to have the ball. So if the Titans run the ball and they run it really, really well, and the Raiders can't have their hands on the ball enough, then they're going to lose. But if they can find a way to get off the field a few times and let Derek Carr go to work, and Amari Cooper and Michael Crabtree and Clive Wofford, who you saw brought into the fold against Atlanta, if those guys can get going, then the Raiders can win this game. But they're going to have to, first thing first, stop that run game. Because if they get rolling and really get rolling and take some time off the clock like the run game is good at doing, it's going to be a long, long day for the Raiders.
The first of two back-to-back on the road, first at Tennessee and then going to Baltimore. 1660 ESPN, find him at 1660ESPN.com there at Central Texas. Also the co-host of the Black Hole Banter podcast. You can find it on iTunes or you can visit it on blackholebanter.com. Q Myers has been my guest on Twitter at yourboyq254. Q, always appreciate the insight with the Raiders. Look forward to talking to you again in a few weeks. Thank you.
No problem. Anytime, my man.
Appreciate it with Q. Up next, the coach, Brian Billick.
Around the league.
It is time, as always, for us to go around the NFL, and to do that, we are joined by the coach, Brian Billick. He's presented by SeatGeek, reminding you that you can visit SeatGeek.com or you can download the SeatGeek app. Always make sure that you, your friends, your family are getting the best deal on tickets. Doesn't matter if it's a sporting event or a concert, SeatGeek helps you out with the amazing technology of Deal Score, so make sure that you have the SeatGeek app on your phone the next time you and your family are ready to head out to the big game or to a concert. Coach, let's start with Monday Night Football, where we know that Jay Cutler injured his hand, was not able to go back into the game, but more of the talk seems to be about whether or not Jay Cutler is really the right guy or the right future for Chicago. I suppose we could argue that what other choice do they have? What is your take on what you've seen from Jay Cutler and from the Bears?
Well, yeah, it's a tough question. It's always difficult to separate the play of a quarterback from what's going around him. Yeah, it's been a tough go for Jay Cutler, not the least of which is the fact that he's had something along the line of six or seven different coordinators, therefore six or seven basically different systems over the time he's been in Denver over the last 8 years. So I don't know of any quarterback that's going to function well in that situation. It may be time for Chicago to move on. What's gone under the bridge, so to speak, by way of Jay Cutler, it just hasn't been successful. This is not a very good football team. So for them to totally reshuffle the deck and try to move forward might be the thing to do.
When you look on the other side of the ball, Coach, you've got two games under Carson Wentz's belt and two wins. Granted, one against Chicago, one against Cleveland. However, what have you seen from the rookie that's impressed you the most?
Yeah, I mean, the schedule maker certainly made it certainly an easier pass for this rookie to start out when talking about the two teams he's had to face. But having said that, you can't help but be impressed with what Carson Wentz has done. He seems to be very calm in the pocket, so to speak. You know, if you want to be nitpicky, third down has not been still real productive. I think he was 3 of 10 in the first game. He's 3 of 15 this game. So sustaining drives is something. But that will come as the rookie continues to mature in the system. And also the fact that the Eagles are staying committed to the run as best they can. You know, they ran it better than 30 times and only had 100 yards. But it shows you that they're trying to keep that balance for Carson Wentz. He threw it 37 times in the first game, 34 times last night. That's ambitious for a rookie quarterback. Now, we'll see going forward whether they maintain this. The schedule's obviously going to get a little bit tougher for them as they go down the way. You know, obviously in Cleveland and Chicago having their difficulties as they try to, you know, piece some wins together here. But we're going to find out, you know, the fact that he did it at home and the fact that he did it, you know, on the road. We're going to find out this week because all but at home, they're going to face the Pittsburgh Steelers, and he's going to go across from Ben Roethlisberger.
Coach, when you look at what the Patriots have been doing without Tom Brady, what's the most impressive part of it to you?
Well, anytime you lose your quarterback and then your backup quarterback, of course, we kind of get used to it with New England, don't we? We just kind of think they're going to overcome anything. This will be an interesting challenge on a short week, playing a very good Houston team. Brissett, the young rookie, obviously came in, you know, they spotted him 24-point lead, so obviously life was pretty good at that point. The key for him, and obviously Bill Belichick knows this, is to let that talent around you win for you. If they can get Gronkowski back, they have Martellus Bennett, this Julian Edelman. Those are some pretty good inside targets to help get the ball out of your hand quickly. I imagine we're going to see a lot of sprints and boots and waggles by Brissett to get out from behind the pocket. But this is going to be a challenge for you now because Houston, all but at home for New England, where they're almost unbeatable. The good thing is the cavalry is on the way in a couple of weeks when they're going to get Brady back.
When you look at what the Buffalo Bills have been doing, there are a lot of folks that believe this is Rex Ryan's sort of last rodeo here and that the Bills have not been living up to the expectation of the fans or of the team. What are you seeing out of the Bills, and is this Rex Ryan's last run?
Well, the fact that he came in from a division opponent after he got fired from New York and the expectations took over the number one rated defense in the league and it has not performed well. And the fact that now that they're 0-2 and they've got Arizona and all but New England. Now, you know, it's Tom Brady-less New England. It may be a Jimmy Garoppolo-less New England. If they should struggle and lose to Arizona and then somehow at New England, and again, New England's a tough place to play, particularly without those two individuals, and lose, you know, an 0-4 Buffalo Bills team, you've already fired your offensive coordinator. It's going to be a tough road to hoe for Buffalo.
What are you seeing that are the struggles right now for the Seattle Seahawks, Coach? Very shocking, I suppose, for just about anybody to see the L.A. Rams wind up beating them this past weekend. They just don't seem to be in sync on offense. What are you seeing with the Seahawks?
Well, we saw this early last year. Remember, they started 0-2 last year, but I think it begins with the offensive line. They're struggling on the offensive line, so therefore they're not running the ball well. They're not protecting Russell Wilson as well. Russell Wilson finally will be likely a plus 500 throw quarterback this year, and I think he's up to it. Up to this point, he's been under 450 throws every year. Why? Because they play great defense and run the ball. Defense is not playing as well. Solid, but not as well as we've seen, particularly in their Super Bowl run. So, yeah, it's a cascading set of events. It doesn't mean it can't get better if Russell Wilson's ankle gets a little bit better, if they can shore up the offensive line a little bit. But, again, the Seattle Seahawks teams that have gone on this great run, it was anchored by league-leading defense, top five rushing attack, and they have neither one of those right now.
And are they missing, you talked about the running game, is it not just missing the running game but missing Marshawn Lynch specifically? Are they missing that sort of, you know, downhill Mack truck rushing attack?
Yeah, I think the physicality of Marshawn Lynch was a mentality that played into the formula for them. You get a little bit extra from Russell Wilson on the edges when he scrambles around. And so I think the way they're running the ball right now, and again, it goes back to the offensive line. I just don't think that they're performing at a level that lends itself. I mean, you talk about that called smash-mouth physical play. That's not what Seattle is right now.
When the Vikings managed to get the win to open up the brand-new stadium, one of the comments that I had made, Coach, a couple of weeks ago was that this might be the best team that Sam Bradford's ever been on, and so maybe we will finally see the Sam Bradford that everybody expected coming out of college. Did you see that in the home win on Sunday night?
Yeah, when you begin with the defense, the way they're playing defense, which is just spectacular, you know, and when you look at this defense, you got to love it. Outside of Matt Barr, you name somebody on the Minnesota Viking defense. Linville Joseph is obviously pretty good, but they don't have those marquee, okay, yeah, they're anchoring their defense. They're just playing great team defense, and Mike Zimmer gets a lot of credit for that. Depending upon when Adrian Peterson can come back, they haven't been running the ball pretty well. I think that goes back to the offensive line to a degree. I think it also goes back to the fact that when you go back and look last year, Adrian Peterson ran for better than 1,400 yards. His best game was against the Oakland Raiders. I went back and looked at that game. He was in the eye. They had two tight ends. They were playing a physical running game. The fact that they're doing more and more out of the gun, I don't know that that suits the running style, certainly not of Adrian Peterson. I'm not sure they wouldn't be better served to get back into the eye and two tight ends, let Sam Bradford hand the ball off or play action fake and then throw the ball down the field. And with that great defense, that can be a good winning formula for this team because they're clearly a good football team.
on the other side of it from Sunday night, the Packers. Coach, what are you seeing that you like, and what has you concerned with Green Bay?
Well, you know, everybody thought when Jordy Nelson came back, you know, life would be fine, that everything was going to be okay at that point. I think there's a little more to it. I think the defense, obviously, there's still some question marks there. Aaron Rodgers doesn't, although he's still making some just spectacular throws. The fact that, and the fact that he goes back to Minnesota playing so good on defense, Aaron Rodgers under 60%. He's not having the efficiency that we're used to seeing with Aaron Rodgers. With the running game, you know, Eddie Lacy, the slimmed down Eddie Lacy, is not necessarily generating the productivity you'd like to see. I'm not sure I wouldn't go back. That's not my place to second guess Mike McCarthy. He's an excellent play caller. But the up-tempo, high-paced Green Bay, they like that no huddle. I'm not sure they might not be better off going back to a more structured offense, control the clock a little bit more, and let Aaron Rodgers operate from that standpoint.
Speaking of defense, through the first 2 weeks, we've seen the New York Giants give up only 32 points, 19 to the Cowboys, and, of course, 13 this past week in holding the Saints in check. Obviously, the Giants have been impressive through 2 weeks with this new revamped defense.
Yeah, it's nice to see that $200 million can buy you something in today's economy. They went out and spent a bunch of money on that defense. They're playing like a top 10 defense compared to last year, which, you know, that's what they needed to approach, where they were literally last in the league. So that's quite a jump, going from last in the league in defense to jumping into the top 10. Now, we've only got two games, so we got a long way to go. But it was obviously money well spent. And then when you throw in, obviously, this emerging dynamic wide receiving core with OBJ, and obviously it's good to see Cruz back into it, and this young man Shepard, the rookie, that's quite a threesome. You'd have to go back in the Giants, back to the 2011 team when they had Plexico Burress, and Victor Cruz was a part of that. Go back even further to 2007. This is clearly the best wide receiving core that we've seen out of New York.
Always great stuff with the coach, Brian Billick. He's brought to us each and every week on the NFL Files by our friends at SeatGeek. Make sure you've got that SeatGeek app on your phone or visit SeatGeek.com so you can make sure you, your family, friends, always getting the best deal on tickets. Check out DealScore that makes sure that the tickets you've got, you can look at that stadium view and know that you're getting the best deal. Coach, appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good.
Stay tuned. Overtime coming up next.
Overtime.
It is time for overtime, and to do that this week from Sports Illustrated, a Monday morning quarterback, Jenny Vrentas joins us. Jenny, we do a six-pack of questions here in overtime, so let's start here. Question number one, are you on the Carson Wentz bandwagon?
I'm halfway on. I think the first two wins, it's great to get off the 2-0 start. I think he and Doug Peterson and the offensive coaching staff have done a great job. I think he's still, you know, like any young quarterback, still has a lot of room to grow. I hate to make any judgments after two games, but certainly how quickly he's gotten into the game and been able to make some of the throws and decisions he's made, he's certainly impressed me.
All right, so you're not on the bus quite yet, but you might be standing at the bus stop is what you're saying.
There you go. That's a great way to say it.
Okay, good. Question number two, Jenny, what right now do you think is the biggest problem facing the NFL?
Health and safety. I think it's, you know, ultimately will determine the future of the game, how we view the game. Are we comfortable watching the game, sending our kids to play the game? So I think how the NFL and the sport of football handle health and safety over the next 10 to 15 years is critical in determining the direction of the sport.
All right. Question number three. Who right now is your current NFL player that's your favorite to interview?
Favorite player to interview? That is a great question.
Or maybe just a favorite one you've done recently. I know it's hard to single one out.
Favorite one. Right. It is hard to single one out. You know, I always enjoy visiting with the Cardinals. They have a lot of really interesting, honest guys. And I was out there in August, and I think Tyrann Mathieu is just so fun to interview. The energy that he brings to his team on the field, he just makes him so interesting off the field to talk to as well. So he's definitely a guy that I really enjoy talking with.
All right. Question number five for us here, or question number four, excuse me, as we go through. Is Rex Ryan overrated as a head coach?
I've covered Rex for a long time. I do not question his ability at all as a defensive-minded coach. Now, head coach is a big difference, but I still don't believe that he's overrated because I think he gets a lot of criticism that he doesn't necessarily deserve. I think he can win. I do not believe that he is on the hot seat as much as people want to say this year. So, no, I do not think he's overrated as a head coach.
As you've followed the question number five here, as you followed the AFC East, there's been a lot of discussion about Darrell Revis and whether or not he has faded as a defender. Do you buy into that? Is it time for him to slide over to safety? What's your take on Darrell Revis?
He is certainly not playing at the same level he played at in 2009, 2010. That was when he was at the top of the mountain. So when we're used to seeing a player who lines up one-on-one with a receiver and man coverage all the time, very often with no help at all, that's so rare and unusual. So watching him now, he's not that same player. That much is clear. I don't believe it's time to put him safety yet. I think he can still be effective as a cornerback. It's just a different kind of cornerback. He's not that kind of guy you can stick on an island anymore. And that's okay. There aren't many of those guys in the game. But I think he can still be an effective cornerback.
All right, final question in our six-pack of questions here for you, Jenny. We love to do this early in the season, so we might as well do it here. If you had to hand out the NFL's MVP award after the first 2 weeks, who would you give it to?
MVP award after the first 2 weeks. Well, it's not a player, but I give it to Belichick for winning two games. But that's Coach of the Year, and you asked MVP award. I'm going with Von Miller.
All right. Well, see, and you're not far off because last year on my radio show, I actually said that I thought the MVP of the league was Wade Phillips. So for you to give it to Bill Belichick after 2 weeks kind of makes sense, right?
Right. But, yeah, I mean, that Denver defense, Miller's a good choice. I know a defensive player hasn't won since Lawrence Taylor, but I'm sticking with Miller right now.
There she is, Jenny Ventress from Sports Illustrated Monday Morning Quarterback. You find her on Twitter at Jenny Ventress, V-R-E-N-T-A-S. Jenny, appreciate the time for joining us on the NFL Files. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Really appreciate Jenny's time. That'll do it. That wraps up our podcast for this week. Make sure you're checking out all the archives posted up at audioboom.com. All you got to do is search NFL Files, listen for your favorite team or for any of the teams around the NFL. My name is Nate Lundy. Talk to you next week.
This has been a Sports Joe production. For more team-specific podcasts, visit sportsjoe.com.